Food & Wine magazine called Michter's the best American whiskey. And Michter's is the first American whiskey to be selected as Whiskey of the Year by Whiskey Exchange. Michter's, it's all about the whiskey. Welcome to In the Drink, the show where we talk to some of the most interesting people working in the beverage industry. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli, owner and wine director of Fausto in Park Slope, Brooklyn, which is actually where we tape this show in our wine cellar every week. I also make some wine in Italy under the label Annona. This week, Sebastiano De Bartoli of the Marco De Bartoli Winery joins us in the cellar. Sebastiano and his family are pioneers of quality Marsala, organic viticulture, and even the idea of good, dry, still wines in Western Sicily. We had a great conversation, so here's the show. We're here with Sebastiano De Bartoli of the Marco De Bartoli Winery in Marsala, Sicily, in Italy. They're a producer who has really pushed the appellation forward and has been a pioneer in quality wine in Western Sicily, not just in Marsala, but I think in all of Western Sicily. And I'm so excited to be here with Sebastiano today to tell us about his family's winery and that very special place in the world that is Marsala. Welcome to In the Drink.
Oh, thank you very much for
that. It's an honor to have you here. We're taping here at Fausto, where since we've opened, we've been just honored to have your wines on our list. They're really beautiful and really exciting wines. But I would love it if you can tell us a short history of your family's estate.
Where I can start? My family is from Marsala, and the back of the family worked on the wine production. But my father done something special. He changed the way to produce wine 40 years ago, because the family is becoming big sellers in Marsala town, and he didn't like to produce in a massa way, so he preferred to come back in countryside to produce the Marsala in agricultural way. That's the point. He came back in 1978 was the date.
So in the post-World War II era, there was a lot of consolidation, is it fair to say, larger producers and making a different style from what your father wanted to do?
Marsala, you know, become a big wine, but not well known. It become more industrial process to be produced. That was a story, I think, after the 50. And then, by the way, the wine become just a muscle wine, not a quality one.
And the older history of Marsala, what was it like a couple hundred years ago?
Marsala started to be produced for the first time in 1773. Was Woodhouse the producer, the first one. And was because there had the embargo between England and Spain. The British was around Sicily, and they start to produce the wine in Marsala, because Marsala was already, a wine area for production. And then with the same, you know, condition of Spain. So they import us, they brought to us the method of production, so the same way. And I think the first Marsala was a kind of Madeira, because they call Madeira Marsala. And of course, they take the wine from the area, they transform with the alcohol and the juice of grape, and that become the Marsala.
So the British really wanted their sherry, and they couldn't get the sherry. Or is Madeira,
you know,
part of Spain?
I think it was Madeira, okay. The idea of the beginning. After they developed so many other typology, the beginner typology was Fine and Superior and Virgin. Those are the main typology of Marsala. But what made the difference between the Marsala before and now is Marsala was produced in countryside from the landman who was making the basic wine. Should be a nice wine, from a good harvest, so need a good alcoholic wine from a very good level of sugar. And then we obtaining a good level of alcohol in the wine naturally. Basically, when the cooperative start to be in Sicily, you know, the biggest production, the quality of Marsala change a lot.
It makes sense. And so those early years, the wine would be fortified. And would it be fortified, do you know, during fermentation? So it stays some residual sugar, or would some sweetness be added after?
You know, I think the fortification was especially for the shipment.
To protect
more,
the wine.
To protect the wine, especially when the wine was young. So the fine, the fine, and the superior, especially because they had the youngest, was, you know, fortified with the juice of grape in the beginning and the alcohol from the same grape. By the way, the method of fortification process change, and then they start to use also the boiled most, the cooked most, or other kind of. And the Dipologio Marsala become a big range of, maybe today we have more than 30 typology of Marsala. But basically, the Marsala, in the beginning, to produce the Marsala was the old wine of the area. The old wine made with the indigenous variety. First of all, of those, Grillo grape. After, of course, we have Cataratto, Nzolia, and Damaschino. But the most diffused probably in the past was Grillo.
You said the first producer of Marsala, the name was Woodhouse?
Woodhouse, yeah. Was
that was
the
not
first,
an
the
Italian,
beginning.
That was a British person.
British, yeah.
And were
British.
Those early first producers predominantly British?
Exactly. And until the middle of 18th century, they had other family like Ingham. And another one, I don't remember now.
Would you say that style for Marsala stayed the same pretty much?
Marsala became for 200 years one of the most sold wine on the world. Probably the first Italian wine sold outside of Italy.
And were these wines that were precious wines to sip and enjoy, or is it more?
Was a wine. Was a really good wine at the time. Was the wine very prestigious? Of course, it's born like secondary typology of Sherry Madeira was behind, but after it became a really popular wine, and it was really known and well known also like a cooking wine, because it was really prestigious to cooking with that. The wine was sent also in United States very a lot. It was until 1950. Something like this. It start to be changed after the Second War, and also because now change also the way to drink, you know. The oxidated wine commonly are all in crisis, but Marsala probably before then, Sherry, Porto Madeira, because they focus the production only in the cooking production.
And why do you think it changed after World War II?
Because the mentality and the taste of the people. Because after the Second War in the 60s, was much more trendy and fashion to drink not oxidated wine. Then the oxidated was the old style, the old stuff, you know.
And how did your father get into the industry?
The history of my father is complex, I told you. My great-grandfather and great-grandmother was from a family was producing wine. It was two of the biggest sellers in Marsala town. So the idea of my father was to against this idea of, you know, industrial wine. And probably the idea of Marsala he had was to come back in the tradition. To come back in the tradition, and then he start again to discover the way to produce the Marsala in the beginning. So it was a really extreme person. So the idea to come back in the quality on the Marsala was to produce the first wine. And the wine was produced from the landman. It was a very old wine, was called Stravecchio, generally.
Extra-aged.
Exactly. That's why the decision to produce his own Marsala without the fortification process, to come back in the old tradition of. In the beginning, start to produce a really traditional wine, was a kind of Stravecchio, After affining the production with the Solera system, and then the Vecchio Samperi was the name he gave to the wine, was the name of the area where we are today in Marsala, in the Samperi area, Dick Street. So he started to work like a French to considering Samperi like the terroir of the Marsala where he produced. And then to aging the Marsala in the Solera system, he started to produce this special and natural Marsala. Still today we produce.
The Vecchio Samperi.
Vecchio Samperi, yeah.
And this is made in the Solera, but unfortified.
Unfortified,
and
yeah.
Is there a yeast veil that grows on it, like in sherry as well?
It's made with the indigenous yeast.
Indigenous yeast.
Where we have a very high level of alcohol after a late harvest. So the wine we will produce is coming from the end of September harvest, and then we obtain a very high level of alcohol. But the aging process is in the Solera system, but we have no floor. Inside the barrels, because the level of alcohol probably is highest for the floor.
Do you fill the barrels all the way up?
Generally, in the Solera, it's not fill up. It's just, a little bit empty, because we can oxidize the wine much faster, like was also the tradition.
And this was your father's first wine that he, his first idea?
Yeah, that was the beginning. That was the first wine. Until 86, from 78, he didn't produce any other kind of Marsala, just that one. And to against also the concept of the Marsala, he made the Marsala in a special bottle, very tall, very different than the ship of the classic Marsala bottle.
What did his friends and neighbors and the other producers think?
Oh, the people was thinking my father was crazy, and the family too. But he didn't care. He go straight on his idea.
It's amazing.
Amazing, great, yeah.
Did he have another profession as well, just in case people didn't want oxidized? And it was dry, right? No sugar, or was there?
No, it's totally dry.
Totally
the
dry.
Fermentation is, and the obtained wine is totally dry. It's a very, totally oxidized style. And was also inconvenient because, the trend, I told you, was totally different. Now probably it's changed. The idea of this oxidized wine start to be again in fashion, but that time was totally, against and totally opposite.
Were there customers in the early years?
The customers, I don't know, but in the same time, it was a really big consideration for this idea of my father, I think. But in the same time, some clients was asking, okay, you produce Marsala, is not a Marsala, but probably can you produce the Marsala for us? So, in the beginning of 86, he started the idea to produce the original Marsala. So he decided to concentrate in one typology, was the Superior. Superior because gold, because Superior gold is the most traditional one.
Oro on the bottle, right?
Exactly. Oro, because it's made in the best way of the fortification process, so in the naturalist way. I mean, juice of grape coming from the same grape of the wine, and the alcohol come from the same grape of the wine, of the grape we produce Marsala. And then from there, we have some Marsala vintage from 86, 80, and by the way.
And when you say Marsala from those years, that means that it then has some sweetness in it?
In this case, yes, because there is a residual of sugar around 6-8 grams. So it's not very stronger in the sugar taste, but it's balanced between the acidity of the Grillo grape. That's why they decided to concentrate only in the Grillo, because Grillo gives to the Marsala also a great acidity.
Usually Marsala could be a blend of the three, but yours is 100%.
Yes. The idea was best Marsala with the best grape. Because my father considering a Marsala like a wine, not a liquor, like somebody think.
And I know today you guys grow organically and use only indigenous yeast, spontaneous fermentation. Was that something that your father thought about in those early years as well?
Of course. When my father started, there was not, selected yeast, at least to for the fermentation. And the natural one are the best because it doesn't work very well to attain also wine with a high level of... So naturally, probably the selection of the yeast is in that way. So don't need to put any selected one about the traditional wine. And for many years, I just focused in Marsala. And after he have been in Pantelleria, where he start another story, another...
When did that start?
It started in 84. Was also there, one of the beginner in Pantelleria. Beautiful island. It's a volcanic island between Sicily and Tunisia. It's 80 miles from Sicily, 60 from Tunisia. So it's closer to the Tunisia than... that's why there is a big, you know... Arabian culture.
And known for sweet wines in Pantelleria.
That is the traditional one. It's a totally sweet wine. Yeah, it's the sweet wine. There is 20 grams of sugar from the juice of dry grapes from Zibibbo. The typical grapes is Zibibbo. It's a kind of Muscat of Alessandria.
And I wonder what was he seeking, what was he searching for in Pantelleria that wasn't possible in Marsala? Is it that grape? He loves the aromatics of that grape, I imagine.
Yeah, it's an aromatic grape. It's a great island. There is a long history about the wine production. I think it was starting from the Arabian people because the characteristic of the wine is made with the raisins, so typical from Arabian culture. And the traditional wine of that area is the Passito. Probably it was... only that one in the past. But the grape, I mean, the Zibibbo grape is a kind of Muscat of Alessandria. So it's a very great aromatic grape, working very well. It's a very interesting. And the soil is also interesting because it's a volcanic island. So it's full of mineral. Very, very interesting.
Another wine that is maybe was not very popular or fashionable is Passito.
When my father started, was also a known wine. Nobody knows about. It was just the history about. And it was becoming a sweet wine, like a Zibibbo sweet wine. That's why the people think Zibibbo is a sweet wine only. But Zibibbo is the grape coming from, originally from Pantelleria. And the traditional wine is Passito. My father started in 84, and the first vintage was probably 80, yes, what is it, the first vintage, when he go there and he start to produce. In the beginning was, you know, just understanding how was to start, I could start, and then I learn from, you know, the local people to produce it. It was also a big range of, you know, and the big... work for the island.
And these days you make many different wines, including sparkling wine, dry, fresh white wines as well, and a range. Can you tell us about the different wines you make?
Yes, probably because the focus in the beginning was only in the traditional production. But we are not just the focus in the tradition. We understood in the beginning of 1990, my father, of course, understand could be possible make an interesting wine in Sicily, but to amplify the technology. So the idea of my father was to show to the people the real taste of the grape. Also to talk about Marsala, to talk about Pantelleria wine, Passito. So we start in the 1990, the production with the indigenous variety, especially Zibibbo and Grillo, the white wine production, the still wine. That was great things because we could compare with the indigenous variety, really unknown until that time, with the rest of the world. Very interesting working process.
And that's good work, too, because I know in the 1990s, some producers in Sicily were trying to introduce Chardonnay and Syrah and non-indigenous grapes.
Yeah, that is also a long story. There was a big working, a big experimentation about the region to make wine with, you know, Burgundy or Bordeaux grapes, international style of wine. And Sicily start to be really known for that kind of grape. Something my father didn't appreciate very much. He understand it could be the faster way to change the opinion about the Sicilian wine. But he didn't want to compromise the work he done. So he never changed the idea of the territory. So he get focused in wine production with the indigenous variety in a time where there was a totally, you know, inconvenient, very strong to do. He started with the Zibibbo wine, Zibibbo because he called Zibibbo, like the grape, but was a really complicated things because the people were thinking it was a sweet wine and it was a totally dry with a complete fermentation. So he changed the name in Pietra Nera, which is the Zibibbo grape from Pantelleria.
The black rock.
The black rock, because the island is black.
It's volcanic
That's
soil.
It's a volcanic soil. That's the idea. And another wine made from Marsala grape, from the Grillo grape, was Grappoli del Grillo. Grappoli del Grillo means Grillo grape wine, you know. He called it in this way because the people was asking it was an insect, not a grape.
Oh, because it means, so, Grillo also means cricket.
Exactly. That's why.
If you lived in the city of Marsala, would most people know that the grape was called Grillo? They wouldn't even know that.
No, the local people was known. But the local people thought, like everybody thought, then that kind of grape could be nice just for traditional wine. So Grillo was just for Marsala, Zibibbo for Passito. That was the idea. And the revolutionary idea of my father was, no, this is a grape. I can work differently, and then I can obtain a white wines.
Why did he think it was a good idea? Obviously he was right, because the wines are beautiful.
How did
he know? Did he just do an experiment and it came out good? Or was there something about the climate or the soil that he said, this could be good?
You know, there are people who have a vision. My father was one of those. In a time nobody can imagine, he start. And he was, convinced that could be the real future for the island.
On the island now, are people more interested in indigenous grapes as well?
Oh, yes. Everybody, I don't want to say copy, but follow this concept. Also because it's become much more convenient. There is more popularity about the Grillo grape, about the Zibibbo grape. Unfortunately, the diffusion of this grape all over in Sicily doesn't focus in a local place where they born, you know. At the moment, we talk about Grillo, we talk about Zibibbo, like a Sicilian grape. I hope, like my father was hoping to recognize the best place where that grape born. So, you know, the French concept to concentrating in the vocality, the vocation of the place.
Well, what are the best places for Grillo?
Of course, it's the West Coast where we are. That's why the English found that grape in that place.
The places that are best for Grillo in a dry and fresher style, is that also the same place that's best for Grillo into a more oxidative style, or are they different?
You know,
are they different places?
Like you told me, we made also experimentation about sparkling Metodo Classico, and before we made another kind of experimentation in traditional style of wine. I mean, wine could be oxidized in the beginning because in this case, you don't amplify the technology. That could be interesting because working the same condition of the climate where we are, we can obtain different kind of wine than the wine obtained by temperature control. So technology is a fantastic thing because it can help you to make what you want. But if you work with the condition of the territory, that give you the integral wine of the area. Integers, the wine can demonstrate that. It's interesting. And the sparkling wine we start to produce also nearly 10 years ago is also a big experimentation we made. It's something very new. Demonstrate the potentiality of the grape. Because if you work the potentiality of the acidity and the structure of this interesting grape, like a Grillo is, in a sparkling way, demonstrate the potentiality of it.
Can you tell us about Grillo, the grape? What's it like?
It's interesting because both places where we are very, very focused in white wine and white grapes. And I told you, the Grillo bore very well in a calcareous soil where it is, where we are. Grillo is interesting because the structure and because he maintained the acidity level very highest also in the late harvest. So it's characteristic, very important for the wine we have to produce, oldest wine aged, like Marsala is.
It's probably why it's so flexible, where you can make a sparkling, sweet, dry, oxidative, all these styles because of the good acidity.
Exactly, exactly. And in Pantelleria is the exactly opposite. It's in a volcanic island. It's also a mineral place, very interesting. But the grape have a low acidity, but a great aroma. So we work in very special place, but different between them.
Would you ever blend the two? It seems like they could complement each other in a way.
Yeah, yeah. In some way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we are very straight to don't confuse, you know, so to leave the and focus in what there is on every place.
They each can have their own personality. That's,
yeah.
That's separate.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you said your father was a man of great vision. Did you think when you were growing up that you'd be working at the winery, or did you have other plans?
Oh, my God. I think already I grew up. So
Your whole life, you always knew you'd be, yeah. This would be your destiny.
Yeah, so this is my destiny, I think.
Yeah. And these days, what are you most excited about?
I like the project in total. I'm more focused in Pantelleria because my brother worked more in Marsala. That's it. So Pantelleria become my land, we can say, where I produce.
I have a hard time selling people sweet wine at the restaurants. It used to be easier, I find. Have you found that the market for sweet wine is getting better?
You know what's going on? What I have seen, there is the idea today, the wine is just all red and white. The people, I don't know, probably for the faster way to live, doesn't drink any more sweet wine. Probably the problem, like I told you in the beginning, is that the behavior now is changed. And at the same time, there are too many producers abandon the traditional wine. The sweet wine are the most traditional in some place. And that contribute to don't drink sweet wine, because most of the case, when you find sweet wine, it's a sweet wine, just it, not a traditional qualified wine. When the people ask me the sweet wine, I say, I don't produce sweet wine. I produce Marsala. I produce Pancito di Pantelleria. That is the typology.
I like that answer.
And this is the way how you have to sell it.
And it seems that Zabibo or clones of Moscato really benefit from that volcanic soil to give them more minerality, more tension, especially since there isn't the acidity to lift them up. Yeah,
it's obviously. If you have a grape, or you put a box of grape from Pantelleria in a room and it stay for a little, you can understand the difference between the Zabibo from Pantelleria and another one.
So you said that other producers, you're seeing that other producers are focusing on indigenous grapes again, which is very exciting. Are you also seeing other people growing organically? Has that become more of a conversation in Western Sicily?
Yeah, I think now organic style become also a really, you know, fashion way to produce. But we have been always organic because organic you are if you want to preserve the territory, but also the world. Today, so many people do just because it's a business. It's become very important to, you know, to sell the wine. This is a good thing, of course, because, you know, organic means not wine, add of any, you know, something, you know, for good for your health. Sincerely, we are organic. We are going to be also certified, but I really don't like to sell wine because it's just organic. That is behind. Organic have to be, but you have to know, show. It's, you know, something everybody now can do and is good for the healthy. But previously, I think it's important the territory.
Because there are some great organic wines and some that aren't so good. So it's just important that, is that your idea? That
there is a big story, you know, behind the organic, born also the natural wine. So it's very complicated to explain, you know, behind the wine, there is a great producer. That's the point. I don't like to talk about natural wine. I prefer to talk about artisanal wine, artisanal producer. Could be much more interesting.
How do you define what's an artisanal producer?
Artisanal is, first of all, the quantity, the production. Quantity means you have to produce without to get, you know, some force of just for the production. But, you know, more than 300,000 bottles, I think, come to be artisanal if you want to be an, you know, an aspect. But it doesn't mean nothing. Depends of your investment, what you focus in the production.
An artisanal as opposed to industrial. Those would be the two opposites.
Yeah, but it's a concept, you know. Industrial is a way to produce in a mechanism. But when you produce in an artisanal way, you put your hands inside. That's the point.
So I've seen in your area in Western Sicily, other producers who also make high-quality Grillo. I haven't seen other high-quality oxidative wines. Has there been a resurgence of that style as well?
It's always the same problem. If there is no research, if there is not a request of product, there are not producers. That is the problem. Nobody start because at the moment is not fashion. It's fashion, but is also something of the old culture. And the problem of our area, where it should be a very diffused wine, the oxidized wine, we lost the tradition. We lost so many, you know, producer too, for wrong made from Polish environment.
Do you find that in your area there's some young, new producers who are doing exciting things, or is it still the same?
Yes, somebody understood the idea of my father, but there are still, you know, few producers, not enough to change the idea of the wine.
What do people in Marsala drink?
The problem is there. The people doesn't drink oxidized wine.
It seems like
we are the first of people doesn't drink oxidized wine. We didn't like. I don't know why. I talk about the population. Probably because the culture of the oxidized wine is more than British than Sicilian.
And it was a thing of pride, maybe, not to drink.
I think so. If you go to Spain and if you go to Sherry, lots of people drink that wine and appear with the food of the place. But in our region, it's uncommon.
And you're making also Skin Master Maturato, right?
Yes. The orange wine, we call it the Integer. It's a typology of orange, so it's obtained with a long maturation skin content. Was also an experimentation in the beginning.
So what was the first year?
The first was 2007, and it was something you want to explain more than just natural and, you know, organic wine. It was something you want to explain the integrity of the wine in the territory. It's a concept. It's a concept. We work the wine at the same condition of the place where we are, and that make also the difference, because if you work innovative way, we obtain some result. We can catch the aroma, the parfum, the fruitiness of the grape. In this case, the wine going to the oxidation style. So that could be interesting to explain and to focus in what's the behavior of the territory.
How have you found the results? You said it started as an experiment.
The result has been, you know, a private experimentation, because we had the beginning 1,000 bottle, and by the way, we increased, but still, you know, a really small production. We arrived now around 4,000 bottles last year, probably next year. But I see there is a big increase. You know, we never know. When we start to produce an indigenous variety in Sicily, nobody understood easily and faster. And after 20 years, everybody do. Probably will be the same for oxidative style. We like to be an example.
The orange wine, was that a project that you started with your brother, I believe?
It was the idea to start to produce white wines. It was when my brother got out from the school, the, you know, enological school. In that case, my father agreed to start a new step, but he told us, okay, but we have to focus in the territory. So the idea was to produce within the indigenous variety. And by the way, and especially with the orange wine, with the integer wine, we develop and we focus also in the indigenous lease is another big step. And today, all the production is made with indigenous yeast too.
Like spontaneous fermentation?
Spontaneous fermentation means you're waiting for the tank working by itself.
Yeah.
I prefer to make a pedicure.
You make a pedicure using your own yeast.
Yeah, but the own yeast, yeah.
Can you tell us about the territory, the land in that area? Is it very hilly? Is it flat? I think of Sicily being very hot, but your wines have such freshness and brightness to them.
When you talk about Sicily, you talk about a country. No, I'm not joking, but because Sicily, from the south, from the west, from the north, have a different condition of climb, have a different level, the sea level. For example, we are in Marsala in a flat area, totally calcare area. And this is until Palermo, something like this. That's why I think it's the best place for white grapes, for the Grillo and much more expression. But if you go to the opposite way, in the other sides, you find a very red land. It's very great for red wines. If you go to the Etna at, you know, more than 1,000 meters, you find another condition. It's a wonderful, you know, volcanic land. So when we talk about Sicily, we can talk about a country. That's the point. And the big work the Sicilian producer have to do is to focus in this and not just produce a Sicilian wine generally.
But what is unique about your area? It's the calcareous soil. Is there a lot of wind because it's very flat? Are you close to the sea?
Exactly. Yes. We are in a flat area. We have no mountain behind, so we are not protected from any. And we are in the Sicilia Canal, so in the middle of Mediterranean Sea. So there is a lot of wind. That is also the characteristic of the place, I think. When we talk about territories, a mix of many things.
How far back do you have of the old stock? What's the oldest vintage in your cellar?
Oh, wow. We are the smaller cellar of Marsala, but we have the oldest collection of oldest wine in the production. My father started to collect the oldest vintage of Marsala from other small producers around the Marsala country. And then we have now wine can start to be produced in 1860, after in the beginning of the 900. Of course, a smaller quantity, but we still have.
The 1860 wine you have, is that the first year of a Solera or that's a single
vintage? No, that is Marsala. Was wow. a barrels of Marsala. Produced from one of the oldest producer in Marsala for Garibaldi, honor to Garibaldi. Yeah.
What does it taste like? Is it alive? Is it delicious, or is it just something a curiosity?
What is bigger than the Marsala wine? It never, if it's made well and with a nice acidity, is very still fresh. That is the impression things.
It's amazing. Thank you, Sebastiano. It's been such a pleasure to have you as a guest on In the Drink. I really appreciate you sharing all your insight with us.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid to be here, and thanks for your work.
So that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening to In the Drink. Again, I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. You can follow me on Instagram @Joe Campanelli for updates on the show,
photos of what I'm drinking, and the occasional pitbull pick. You can also email me at info@inthedrinkpod.com. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. In the Drink is produced by Jessamyn Molly, and a huge thank you goes to Alyssa Satter for her help with promo for the show. Special thanks to Rennie Lopez for our awesome theme music. This is the last episode of the season. Join us next season for more In the Drink.